during her time as professor of literature at Tehran University, the administration impeded Azar Nafisi from doing her job properly. Nevertheless, with creative subversion, Ms. Nafisi bravely gathered a group of women to study literature. Living in a self-described bleak world, their covert sessions of discussing the classics, including Bronte, Hemingway, and Nabokov, brought color to their hearts and minds. Discussing novels together empowered these women to paint their dreams and to embrace imperfect joy. No matter what your life conditions are, engaging literature and stories can help you to paint your dreams and to engage imperfect joy. When I was growing up, the Little House on the Prairie series were some of my favorite books, based on autobiographical reflections from Laura Ingalls Wilder. The story started in the 1870s with Ma and Pa Wilder and the four daughters living in Walnut Grove, Minnesota. Searching for a better life, the family eventually migrated west to the Dakota Territory. With horse and wagon, they ventured across the prairies in blazing heat, pounding rain, and bone-chilling, freezing winds. Through it all, the Wilder family maintained positivity and resilience. At one point, huddling together with their thin blankets and eking the most out of every drop of a humble potato soup, they survived days on end of blizzard conditions. And the family experienced a gentle satisfaction from making it through the tough times. Upon establishing their farm with a clunky plow and slow old horses, they worked the fields as best they could. Sometimes the crops provided enough, sometimes they did not. After one period of crop bounty, Pa upgraded by purchasing two handsome stallions for farm work. The girls got a bonus, riding the horses for fun on pioneer trails. Now, mind you, the girls did not have fancy riding saddles or boots, so riding the horses was kind of raw. But Laura's face told the whole story, showing how every cell in her body was dancing with joy. Laura's story makes me think about our own stories and whether or not we take advantage of opportunities for experiencing imperfect joy. Her life was far from perfect. She and her family scrapped it out in order to make things work, to help make ends meet. Laura had to work all these odd variety jobs that did not even begin to utilize her intellect or passion. And at the same time, she was dedicated to enjoying the heck out of life. How many people remember watching this on TV? Love the way she did it. She appreciated bursts of bluebells and yellow hop clover wildflowers. She enjoyed going to church and coming home to smell and then eat a nice simple stew for Sunday dinner, playing tag out back with her sisters racing horses. in the midst of our own challenges, the stories, The Little House on the Prairie, helped us to paint our own dreams. And remembering back to those stories now can help us. Healthy religion reminds us that life is not always fair. Bad things happen, including to good people. Rabbi Harold Kushner teaches that a central question must always be, in the midst of loss and pain, can I forgive life's imperfections and love life, because life is capable of also containing beauty and goodness, and because it's the only world we have? Can I forgive life's imperfections and love life? The Buddha taught the same thing a different way. Even if you're in real danger of being attacked by a tiger, you can pause and enjoy some juicy strawberries. I just finished a wonderful book entitled The Tortilla Curtain, written by T.C. Boyle, with a heroine whose bravery helped me see imperfect joy. Part of the book looks at how men and women with brown faces risk everything to cross the border north. Two of them, Candido and America Rincon, the woman's name is America, they come to Southern California, where they must fight off starvation while living in a makeshift camp deep in a ravine. They're in Topanga Canyon. Pregnant and struggling for her life, America finds imperfect joy preparing for their first Thanksgiving in the United States.
One day, lying there by the desolate stream like some dead thing, America heard a bird calling, three high-pitched notes and then the sadness of it, over and over. That sad, beautiful bird calling for her mate, her love, her husband. And America felt the sun touch her face like the hand of God. And the peephole snapped open like a shutter of a camera. From that day on, she began to recover. Her baby was coming. Candido loved her. She made coffee the next morning and cooked him a meal. She laughed to see Candido there, wet to the waist, having crossed the stream, the clink of beer bottles, the big naked bird gobble, gobble, gobble. He clowned for her, danced around the sandpit with a bird atop his head. The leaves were green again, the sky blue. She got up and held him.
Such literature can paint an image for us of how, even with our imperfect lives, we can still see and feel happiness. America's story reminds me of Maya Angelou's autobiography entitled I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings. In recounting her life, Angelou tells how community, strength of character, and love of literature can help overcome all kinds of pain, including racism. Even when life is like a cage, one can sing a song of longing for freedom. The act of singing can help you to paint your dreams and experience a modicum of joy in the imperfect moment. As is true with most things in life, we're usually not very successful simply reading and reflecting upon stories completely on our own. Spiritually, we human beings do not thrive while living in solitary confinement. Hence, many times, whether living under a repressive regime or evading tigers of illness, broken friendship, or big unwanted changes, we benefit from looking with other people at courageous stories of happiness. And in fact, for the Iranian women in Azar Nafisi's literature class in Tehran, coming together to immerse themselves in stories and then to talk about them deeply helped them to paint their dreams, partly because of the courage required for them to meet.
Nafisi said, "Our class was shaped within this context in an attempt to escape the gaze of the blind censor for a few hours each week. There in that living room, we rediscovered that we were also living, breathing human beings. Like Lolita, we tried to escape and to create our own pockets of freedom. We tried to live in the open spaces, in the chinks created between that room, which had become our protective cocoon, and the censor's world of witches and goblins outside."
With the strength and joy gained in community, these women showed a little more hair from under their scarves, listened to forbidden music, and talked with each other about their stories of falling in love. Laura Ingalls Wilder, Azar Nafisi, America, and Maya Angelou all knew the power of positive energy in creating joy. Of course, we must always acknowledge situations where circumstances seem to make joy inappropriate or even impossible. This week, our hearts are with the earthquake victims in Italy and Myanmar. Amongst the many gunshot victims in our beloved city this summer, a 6-year-old boy was shot 10 times in one incident in Germantown this summer. And thank the heavens and the Lord and the goddess and the light, the boy survived and may fully recuperate. Yet it is also true that one of the most amazing aspects of the resiliency of the human spirit is that even in the toughest of situations, people can and do find joy. It happens. Maya Angelou, in the course of her life, suffered many intense difficulties, including at the age of 8, she was sexually violated. Many times in her life, because of the color of her skin and the texture of her hair, she was taught she didn't look pretty enough, she didn't have the brains to succeed. But with the knowledge of why the caged bird sings, Angelou herself sang songs of memory and poetry. Still she said, "I rise. Still I rise." At times, people of good conscience feel, even if they themselves are not struggling in the midst of serious problems, that the existence of injustice in the world makes it hard to justify happiness. I myself struggle with that ambivalence, with military and prison, industrial complexes, massive world poverty, homophobia. At times I feel misguided in feeling joy. However, I have to remember, and we have to remember, our Unitarian Universalist theology highlights a spirit of joy, which is available to all people universally. Joy is not always perfect. Very often it is imperfect, wrapped in disappointment and grieving. You can say the joy emanates from God's grace or the Spirit of life, regardless of language of theology. If we choose to be chronically angry about the wrongs in the world, which are real, our indignation improves very little. Usually we're underperforming. However, as revolutionaries, we can kindle joy, including while we effectively confront injustice. It's true. We can do it. It happens throughout the history of humanity. We can generate positive change with joy. If we joyfully read, discuss, and write, if we sing, dance, laugh, and hug during our work, during our living, we will bring about more goodness with our very way of being. You may be facing a dangerous tiger. Your tiger might be fear or jealousy or greed. But it's also true that you probably have a beautiful opportunity to enjoy some strawberries. Right, Jason? Your strawberries might involve simple knitting, holding this material from animals and making something beautiful. Your strawberries might involve playing Scrabble with a friend, or reading poetry out loud to anyone who will listen, or just to yourself. Your strawberries might include listening to Prince, who now, after he very sadly died, premature death, is on the radio like all the time. And who isn't happy about that? Your strawberries, I would include in your strawberries singing out loud, "I never meant to cause you any trouble. I never meant to cause you any pain. I only want to one time see you laughing. It's such a shame our friendship had to end. Purple rain." Oh, I remember when that album, that movie came out. Love it. That's some very imperfect singing, which brings me joy. Your strawberries that you eat could really just involve reciting your gratitude list for today. Say out loud the things that you are grateful for right now. No matter how real or dangerous your tiger is, you have the free will to taste the strawberries in front of you and to feel imperfect joy, which can reverberate through your cells and change the world. Blessings be.